Welcome to Critical Issues Commentary, the podcast ministry of Gospel of Grace Fellowship, a non-denominational Christian church in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. This is Bob DeWay, your host for today, and I'm speaking with Eric Dalma, the pastor of Gospel of Grace Fellowship. Well, last week, Eric and I were talking about this Lance Waldnau invading Babylon, the Seven Mountain Mandate, co-author of the book, and some of the claims made in this book, which we're calling post-millennial because they're looking to bring the kingdom into the world through getting places of authority under the guise of the church or people from the church or friends of people from the church, so that all these spheres of influence in the world are going to be Christianized.
Yeah.
And that'll be expression of the kingdom. So as we ran out of time, we're looking at something else here on page 67, and Eric pointed this out. And this Lance is claiming that we're kings now. So Eric, I'll turn it over to you and let you comment on that.
Yeah, he says, this on page 67, he says, we carry something as kings and priests that is powerful. It is in fact a combined anointing. And he goes on and he actually says something that is somewhat correct at the bottom, but he distorts it. He says, we have access to the throne. Well, that's true. But what he starts advocating is, he says, we slow down the decay of culture. And as kings and priests, he says, also as light, which means that we illuminate a pathway into a better future. What's interesting is this post-millennial movement that he's advocating claims that we as believers are ruling and reigning now as kings and priests. But what's interesting is Jesus declares that now we as the believers who have trusted in him are those who are downtrodden. We're going to be those who have low status in the eyes of the world. And that's one thing Bob has pointed out in the studies of Matthew, that in fact, anytime you look at the church, we're described as the little ones, those who have no status in the eyes of the world. In fact, I'll cite everyone. This is Matthew 11. This is 11:25. Jesus says this. It says, Jesus declared, he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. The term for little children there in the Greek is nepsios. It's literally like infants. And the point that Jesus is making is not that we're somehow dumber, but what he's pointing out is that we have no status. Those who claim to be wise, those who claim to have all the positions of authority, it's not being revealed to them, but to those who have no status in the eyes of the world. So what we have to get in our heads is Lance Waldnau and these false teachers that are claiming these great post-millennial plans, they're claiming that we are kings now. Jesus says we're lowly now. Who are we going to believe?
The Bible doesn't call us kings now.
Right.
It teaches the priesthood of every believer.
Amen.
Okay. The ruling with Christ doesn't happen until Christ returns.
Absolutely.
Sets up his kingdom. But he says here, as kings, we have authority to administrate over earth and all demonic opposition. So yes, we're supposed to be ruling over the human and the demonic realm right now.
Right, right.
That's taking the role of Christ.
Amen. Yes.
You see, the world history that goes on is part of providence, which includes all things.
Amen.
And God is the one who makes all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. And so on, chapter 8. I don't think they understand the doctrine of providence.
Right, right.
Okay? We're not in charge of providence because we're not capable of it.
Right.
We can hardly administrate the spirit realm. We can't see the spirits.
Right. Yeah, how could we do it?
We don't know what all this stuff is. We We know that God protects us.
Yeah.
But they think we're going to somehow manipulate the spirit realm to create the outcome we're looking for on the earth, and that's going to mean the kingdom showing up?
Yeah, great point. And this claim by this post-millennial group that we're going to rule and reign now, what's interesting is Jesus gives a promise to the church at Thyatira in Revelation 20, it's Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 through 27. He says, the one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, so these are true believers, he says, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. That's a reference to Psalm 2:9. What's interesting is when you read the book of Revelation carefully, you get to Revelation 19, Jesus returns and he rules the nations with a rod of iron. Well, who's going to be ruling with him over the nations when he returns? Believers will. So what's interesting is they have it inverted. They're saying we rule now with a rod of iron as kings, and therefore we create the kingdom, then Christ returns. If you read the book of Revelation, Jesus returns, then Jesus rules with over the nations with a rod of iron, fulfilling Psalm 2:9, and we rule with him. So they've got it completely backwards.
Plus, they have us ruling now in our mortal bodies as saved sinners,
Yeah.
as if we don't need the resurrection and the perfection that he has coming.
Right.
And we're not suitable to do it now.
Amen.
How many people, how often can a church even stay stable and keep church discipline and everything in order?
Right. Good point.
And that's not ruling over the lost. It's just keeping Christians who know the Lord, which we do, and God helps us. The
Yeah.
Word of God is taught, and we have fellowship. But that's not easy.
Right.
And we're going to rule over the world and make everything hunky-dory when there's nothing but endless rancor and rioting and bloodshed and hatred and animosity.
Yeah.
So
It's
their
crazy.
view of what the kingdom looks like is seriously deficient.
Yes, amen.
Well, let me quote some more from Lanau then on
Yeah.
page 68. It says, taste of the powers of the age to come. Then he says, as we do this, that's from Hebrews, we access the power to manifest the testimony of Jesus. Quote, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Matthew 24:14. Now here's how he understands that. We are to be witnesses who demonstrate evidence of the reality of the kingdom. So it shifts the meaning. Okay.
Great point.
So why don't you explain to us, Eric, what Matthew 24:14 means in its own context, according to
Yeah.
Matthew, the Holy Spirit inspired author.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Yeah, as I was looking at this earlier, I mentioned to Bob that what it's interesting is when Jesus is giving the signs in the Olivet Discourse, he's actually giving all of the signs in the future 7 years, the 70th week of Daniel. I always kind of make this symbol because it's like a parentheses. So think about, we're living in the church age. What Lance Wallnau is doing is he's claiming that Matthew 24:14, where he talks about the end will come, he says that that's the end of the church age. What's sad though is right after that, Jesus says in Matthew 24:15, he says, so when you see the abomination that causes desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, then he even says parenthetically, let the reader understand. What Jesus is pointing out is he's talking about the 70th week of Daniel. That abomination that causes desolation is when the Antichrist, at the midpoint of the 7-year tribulation period, sets himself up as God in the temple. That's what Jesus is alluding to. And so the end that's being referred to is the end of that tribulation period, not the end of the church age. So what Lance Wallnau and these postmillennialists do is they take this teaching that Jesus is referring to in the 7 years of tribulation, and he forces it now so that you and I are going to try to have authority here and now, and that you and I are going to somehow Christianize the planet here and now. And like you said, Bob, when he says we are to be witnesses who demonstrate evidence of the reality of the kingdom, well, what we are actually to do is to preach the word in season and out of season. We're to proclaim who Christ is, what he's done. The Spirit regenerates and brings people to faith. That's how the gospel actually works.
So how does one enter the kingdom?
Yeah, by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith
They
alone.
become subjects of the true king who reigns, according to Psalm 110 and verse 1,
Amen.
which is cited throughout the New Testament, that he's reigning at the right hand of God.
Right.
Now, some
Amen.
take that and say, until he makes his enemies a footstool for his feet, which they interpret as the church is going to make the enemies the footstool.
Right,
And so
right.
there was a book written. I can't remember the name of the author. I've been doing this for 50 years. So,
Yeah.
excuse me if I don't remember every book I came across during those 50 years, but one of them was entitled Held in the Heavens Until. And it was written probably during in the 80s when there was a wave of popularity of post-millennialism. Because during the Reagan era, things looked a lot better, so they got excited about it, and then
Right.
we got Clinton, and things went a different direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of waxes and wanes depending on who's president. But Held in the Heavens Until said, Christ come back can't come back until we take control and welcome him back.
Yeah, how sad.
Okay, so the idea is the making his enemies a footstool for his feet is what the church does.
Right.
We have hymns about that.
Yeah.
Here in America, the 19th century was a post-millennial century. Our evangelist, Charles Finney, was a rabid post-millennialist. Claimed that if we just got our act together, the millennium would come in a few months. Charles Finney,
Wow.
consider a rank heretic.
Yeah, full Pelagian.
Full Pelagian.
Yeah.
No miracle, no work of God, just right action. His theology was his moral government. Work hard,
Yeah.
do more. Human ability to the nth degree. And so then all these societies were created in the 19th century that they were going to bring the millennium to America. One society after another, many of them still exist.
Yeah.
And they're not all bad. They're making some things better. So I studied that in church history under Dr. Travis. What a great teacher he was for me. But the fact is, postmillennialism is false.
Yes.
We're living in the church age, and we have been since Pentecost.
Amen.
During the church age, God is ruling over the world through providence. Providence contains all things. When Paul preached to the Athenian philosophers, he says that God draws out the boundaries, determines the times of our existence. Okay? That he sets up rulers.
Yeah.
This is all in the New Testament. Paul preached it. And that's why Romans 13 says what it does.
Yeah.
Okay? And we can certainly get moral guidance from that, which is a moral thing to support governments with rules and laws that are reflective of what's right and wrong. You
Yeah, right.
have national boundaries. God's ordained that. We
Yeah.
right now, government that actually throws its hands up and says, if it does set national boundaries, well, we can say
Right.
that's wrong directly from the Bible. We can
Yeah,
discern the
amen.
moral law of God from the Bible, but how the boundaries are drawn out and the kings that come and go in all of history is in his hands and is part of providence.
Yeah,
The church
amen.
age goes from the day of Pentecost when Peter announced it, the fulfillment of Joel 2:28 and other many passages, and it goes on until the rapture of the church.
Yeah, amen.
So that puts us in it.
Yes.
And the ending of the church age is a time determined by God, not by how hard the church works.
Right.
Like he's
Amen.
going to be. Let's just take what their claim is. They're claiming, and we'll get to this in the future
Yeah.
here, but we need more money. We need Hollywood. We need great powerful stars and people that are highly esteemed in the world. We need worldly people to help us build the kingdom.
Right.
And that's what their claim is. And lots of money. Money, money, money. We're going to build a kingdom. Okay. Well, the point is, when the disciples asked when he was going to restore the kingdom to Israel, he says, "Now for you to know the times or epochs that are fixed by the Father's authority."
Yes.
So does anybody know when that fixed time is?
No.
People, the post-millennialists and amillennialists, so most of them, are also thinking the church is Israel, not all. And
yeah.
Reject any validity to future promises to ethnic national Israel.
Yeah, that's right.
But they're wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're totally
That's
wrong.
right.
What's your podcast, Eric, where you talk about all these things?
Yeah, you know, I've got some in the Eschatology channel where I do talk about the future restoration of Israel, and I dedicate a few messages to that. And Bob, you mentioned a very important passage, that Acts 1:6, and I'm just going to add to it just that it's interesting. Jesus doesn't correct the disciples. The disciples in Acts 1, the text is very specific that they had just been taught by the resurrected Christ for 40 days about the kingdom. And the question they ask after that teaching is, as Bob cited, Acts 1:6, are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? If there was ever a time where Jesus would correct them if they had their wrong understanding of the kingdom, if the church was Israel, why didn't Jesus say, hey guys, you have the wrong idea, you are now Israel, or the church is going to be Israel or something? But he doesn't say that. He says it's simply not for them to know the times and the epochs which are set in the Father's hand. And so that's the point, is we don't know when this kingdom is coming. It's an imminent threat to those who don't believe, and it's an imminent blessing to those who do. And as Bob said, oftentimes when we look at these post-millennial men like Lance Wallnoe and others, we might even agree to vote for the same candidates. In fact, I would assume we probably vote much along the same lines. But what Bob and I are trying to do is defend the idea that the kingdom comes when Christ comes. It's not going to be by human works. It's only by this gracious power. And what we see, for example, in Matthew chapter 7, is that the believers are always going to be only a remnant. We have a good friend who's a good theologian at our church. His name is Adam Olean. And he often says the remnant is not a winning political strategy. What he means by that is, if we're going to take over the world, if that were true, well, then you'd have to have the majority of the world be Christians. But Jesus says in Matthew 7, 14 and 15, wide is the path that leads to destruction.
Yeah.
Many enter in through it, but narrow is the path that leads to salvation and few find it. Here's a challenge I'd like to put out to any post-millennial. Show Bob and I and all the other believers out there where, in fact, in the scriptures, it says that ratio reverses itself, where the wide path ends up being the believers and the narrow path is only those heading to destruction. I don't see anywhere where that ratio reverses.
That's not the idea in the scripture. It never has been.
Amen.
The saved remnant is a minority. Well, here's a passage that I was thinking about. I said some of the verses to Eric that I've been pondering, given this material reading. I'm thinking, what? Do they read the Bible? Well, here's one. This is Luke 12, 32. Well, let me read 31. We're talking about at the end of how God takes care of people and that we should just trust him. And then before that, there's the parable of the rich man who laid up treasure but was not rich toward God. Luke 12, 16 to 23. This consider the ravens. Luke 12, 24. Consider the lilies, Luke 12, 27. Then the point, Luke 12, 28, but if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? Do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink. Do not keep worrying, for these things the nations of the world seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdoms, and these things will be added to you. Now you might think, Well, that's the total opposite idea of what they're teaching.
Yeah.
We're supposed to take over and institute the kingdom
Right.
and have lots of money to do it.
Yeah, great point.
So they have a total different worldview than when Jesus taught Matthew. I don't know what their claim would be that Matthew doesn't apply to that. I don't know what they're claiming.
Yeah,
I don't think
right.
they know. I don't think they care.
Yeah.
If these guys care about authorial intent and what Matthew is teaching and what here Luke is teaching, then that
Yeah.
would occupy their effort. They would not cite a verse until they worked on the exegesis to determine what the Holy Spirit-inspired author means.
Yes.
They never do it.
Right.
So I have to assume they don't care. Or maybe
Yeah.
they do care, but they think the Holy Spirit's telling them what it means, in which case it's a spiritualized way of saying the reader determines the meaning,
Yes.
which is the most liberal thing you could ever hold to.
Yeah, right. Well
That's what
said.
the liberals do with the Constitution. And these conservatives get outraged about that, rightly so, but they
Yeah.
do the Bible.
Right. Great
See
point.
this,
Yes.
dear listeners, what's more important? We love the Constitution here in America.
Yeah.
What's more important, the Bible or the Constitution?
Yeah.
The Bible's
Amen.
inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Constitution is a well-written document to make life more civilized and reasonable, but it's not inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's part of
Amen.
providence. So
Yeah.
why do these same teachers fight for the meaning of the Constitution and trample all over the meaning of the Bible?
Yeah, that's well said. That's a great point. It is. It's very hypocritical. And it's funny, as you mentioned that, Bob, you've maybe talked about this on previous programs. I know you have on CIC, but it's interesting how many times these post-millennials will advocate for a system that contradicts their supposed love for, like you said, the Constitution. They want the author to ground the meaning of the text there. But yeah, when it comes to the Bible, well, now the reader does.
Yeah,
And it's
the
a really
liberals
good
are
comment.
famous for reading the Constitution and finding whatever was already in
Yeah.
head.
Yeah, exactly right.
Reader
Yeah,
determines the
great
meaning.
point.
We decided it means this.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah, good point.
hey, good. That's right. Every document is meaning is determined by its writer, whatever it might be. It might be a document full of lies, but the writer determined the meaning.
Yeah,
You have
that's
some
right.
scoundrel wrote a document to deceive people. He's
Yeah,
determined the meaning.
right.
See, that's
That's
how human
right.
language works. So I would say this, conservatives who mock people like Eric and I,
Yeah.
who believe the Lord is coming for his church at some unknown time, as Christians have believed since the day of Pentecost,
Right.
why don't you take your zeal for the meaning of texts and apply it to the Bible and let the biblical authors determine the meaning? It would change everything you teach and everything you believe.
Amen.
But you won't do it because you're too invested in your system of religion that's going to give you power or whatever it is you think.
Yeah.
Let me
That's
give
it.
you, I didn't even get to the verse I was going to read. That's Luke 12:32.
Okay, it is verse 32. Gotcha.
12:32. Here's what it says. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your God, Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom.
Yeah,
That's in the
amen.
context of not worrying about what you have and seeking his kingdom. The Lord will take care of you. So how is it that the little flock that has very little, unlike the rich man in the parable of verses 16
Right.
through 22 of Luke 12, how is it this poor little flock trusting Jesus has promised that God will give them the kingdom when Bill Johnson, Lance Waldau, C. Peter Wagner, and these other teachers are claiming we're going to create a kingdom now, without Christ returning, or without God giving it to us, by taking control or influence of the systems of power of these seven mountains.
Amen. Yeah,
How is
great.
that compatible with a little flock being given the kingdom by the king
Yeah.
when he returns?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Great
Who's
point.
going to defeat the enemies? Put them under his feet. The
Yeah.
king.
Absolutely.
And the armies of heaven.
That's right.
Okay. And if you want to, I'll read two more verses here in Luke 12.
Yeah, amen.
Sell your possessions, give to charity, make yourself money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart is. It's all a piece together with that parable, meaning it doesn't mean we can't have houses to live in or enough savings to make sure we can pay the rent at the end of the month or whatever we
Right.
do. But our heart is in heaven seeking the Lord, longing for him.
Yes.
They're telling us we're defeated Christians if that's the case.
Yeah.
I don't care what they say. I care about what the Lord says.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Yeah, you know, you make a good point, Bob. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that defeats the enemies. It's not us. And we see that all over the scriptures. You see it in Joel chapter 3. I believe, by the way, Joel is a prophet that's written very early. I believe it's probably around the 9th century. And the reason I believe that is I believe the armies that represent the locusts, or the locusts are actually a foreshadowing of the armies. Those armies come after the prophecy. That is the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And the only reason I mention that is in Joel chapter 3, you have the Messiah is ultimately going to return and bring the nations down to Jehoshaphat, where God is going to enter into judgment with those nations. You see the same thing in Zechariah 14, where the Messiah is going to destroy all the enemies surrounding Jerusalem. In fact, his foot will set on the Mount of Olives, according to Zechariah 14:4. So Revelation 19 picks up that very theme. So as Jesus comes and returns, then he rules and reigns with the rod of iron over the nations, and then that rule is extended to us, as he promised to the church at Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2, 26 through 27. So what Bob and I are saying is the post-millennialists say that we somehow grapple and wrestle and take the reins over the enemies of the earth for Christ, and then he returns. But in every passage that you look in the scriptures, who is it that actually defeats the enemies of Christ? It's Christ. Christ is the one who does it. And that's one of the things that Bob and I object to, is that when we look at the ultimate battle between salvation by grace versus salvation by works, postmillennialism is heavily invested in a works-based salvation. What Bob and I are saying is it's Jesus Christ's power alone who comes and rescues his people, who subdues the enemies, and who establishes the kingdom. It's not by human effort. It's by God and his power.
Amen. Well, which is what happened in the Old Testament.
Amen. That's
When
right.
Israel did find victory, it was because God gave it. God intervened.
Yes,
And
yes.
they looked to make alliances with Egypt or whatever. It never worked out too good.
It never worked out good, did
Person
it?
is the man who trusts in man.
Right. Great
Okay, we're
point.
trusting in the Lord to keep his promises.
Yeah.
And is he building the kingdom? Yes, one soul at a time. Come
Yes.
built on the rock, as a citizen of the kingdom. And the narrow path is still what it is. And the church age continues on. And what will happen between now and when the Lord returns, we don't know exactly, other than we know what we're called to do, which is to preach Christ, repentance, forgiveness of sins, and trusting in
Amen.
Christ alone for salvation.
Yes. Wow.
We are out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. You can access this episode and many others, as well as over 100 articles, at the website cacministry.org. While you're there, click on Contact and send us a message. We would love to hear from you. We want to encourage you all to stand firm in one spirit, one mind, to strive together for the faith of the gospel. A Critical Issues Commentary. This is Bob DeWay
and Eric Delma.
We'll see you next week.